I am the absolute philosopher. And tonight, we're going to talk about this concept here. A Native American grandfather was talking to his grandson about how he felt. He said, "I feel as if I have two wolves fighting in my heart. One wolf is a vengeful, angry, violent one, and the other wolf is a loving, compassionate one." The grandson looked at his grandfather and said, "Which wolf will win the fight in your heart, Grandpa?" The grandfather answered, "The one I feed." This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy, Absolute Monastery, here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. A Native American grandfather was talking to his grandson about how he felt. He said, "I feel as if I have two wolves fighting in my heart. One wolf is the vengeful, angry, violent one. The other wolf is the loving, compassionate one." The grandson asked his granddad, "Which wolf will win the fight in your heart, Grandpa?" And the grandfather answered, "The one I feed." Now we could hang up our hat on this, and the whole thing is quite well explained and very well done. Think about it. Think about what you do in your life, what I do in my life. If I am playing around with happiness, I'm a happy guy. If I am playing around with my own sadness, I'm an unhappy guy. If I'm playing around with my family's sadness, I'm an unhappy guy. If I'm playing around with the community's sadness, I'm an unhappy guy. If I play around with the world's sadness, I'm an unhappy guy. You see, that's the wolf that's violent and angry, that's fighting within us, wanting attention. They want the attention because they feel that that's the type of thing that they'd like to have demonstrate in our life. And then we have the other wolf inside of us, and wolves are good. We have the other wolf inside of us, and that wolf is a loving and compassionate wolf. That wolf is a gentle, caring wolf. That wolf is one who raised the Remus and Romulus twins upon which the foundation of Rome was set. And that's not as much a joke as you think it is. Because in earlier days, animals were befriended by people and were not always able to give back the love that was given to them immediately. But when they had an opportunity to do something, they did. There are many fables, which are truisms, written about animals doing beautiful things. We have the series, a lot of them at least, on Lassie. This is a collie dog that is trained in the movies, and it has a master, and the master is a young boy, and he's always getting into trouble. He's always getting into things out in the woods, in the forest, on the farm, all sorts of troubles that he gets into, and Lassie gets him out of it, because Lassie is there to save him. And it's usually not the boy's fault. It's some other person's fault, but the boy is caught up in the maelstrom of whatever it is that happened. Animals are a very tender lot. Animals want to be loved, especially every one of them, really. They want to be house-trained. They want to be home-trained. They want to be love-trained. And we are the ones who treat them badly. When an animal comes in the house and takes a piece of meat off the table, we say, "That's terrible." Well, how much time have we spent training him that the meat on the table is not for him to take? He has his own bowl, and in there is his food. How much time do we take and train the animal about that? All we do is say, "No, no, 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 no. Bad dog, bad dog." Well, he's not a bad dog. He hasn't been trained. If a little baby doesn't know how to sit in the potty and do his duty and does it all over the house, you don't say, bad baby, bad baby, bad baby. You keep grabbing the kid and putting him on the potty, showing him that that's the place to do it. And he doesn't learn instantly. Dogs and animals and what have you don't learn instantly either. But he learns by our caring and our compassion. That's the caring and compassionate wolf that's in the grandfather that he has for his son and his grandson and the world about him. He's a caring and a compassionate guy. Now, the angry and the violent wolf, that's in most of us from time to time, where we feel self-righteous, we feel pity for ourselves because something didn't go our way, we feel that something is just not really pleasant or nice in our life, and so we're sorry for ourselves. And one little bit of a second that we spend being sorry for ourselves is like having a mountain fall on us. 1 second, you know. So imagine if you do more than a second. If you do, you know, for a day, wow, the whole earth splits open. If there's any problem, it's going to come to you because you are ready for it. You are open to the problems of the world. However, if instead of being ready for the problem, you are ready for the solution and you are ready for the joy and you take it as a challenge and you're not being tested, you're being fortified in your own program, then that's different. Then you are the wolf that is loving and compassionate and caring. And this is the kind of wolf we want to be. You see, in this little story, a Native American grandfather was talking to his grandson about how he felt. And he said, you know, grandson, I feel as if I have two wolves fighting in my heart. And one wolf is fighting and vengeful and angry and a violent one. The other wolf is the loving, compassionate one. And the grandson looked up at his grandpa and he said, but grandpa, which wolf will win the fight in your heart? And grandpa looked at the boy and said, you know, that's up to me. The wolf that I feed is the wolf that will win. Will I feed the wolf in me that has anger and hatred and uptightness, or am I going to feed the wolf of love and peace? But Grandpa, how do you feed the wolf in your heart when he's not there and to eat? You know, he really doesn't. Oh, he eats. He eats. He eats my thoughts. He eats my anger. He eats my pity. He eats my love. He eats my joy. Whatever food I give myself, mental food, spiritual food, joyous food, then the wolves take part in it. You know, there's a story in Augsburg, in Germany, and my sponsor of some of my seminars, his father lived there. And we went to visit, and he took me to the castle in Augsburg. And in the castle, they had some paintings. And there was a painting of a priest walking with the cross before him, followed by two of his monks or associates, out to the battlefield, where a raging horde of Huns, of disreputable fighters, were ready to take on Augsburg and claim it as their city. And the priest lifted up this cross in front of the other general and said, you shall not touch Augsburg. It is blessed by God. It is surrounded by the love of God. And the general said, I can't fight that. Mm-hmm. And he turned around and went away. And that priest was never forgotten. That priest and his glorious, wonderful thing that he did was never forgotten. But what they did forget was one thing. The priest did not feed the anger of the general. He fed the loving wolf in him, the compassionate wolf, and the general did it. He didn't go to the general and say, you cannot come in here and you cannot take this city because you're bad people and this city belongs to us and now get out of here and blah, 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 you know. He went to him and he said, this city is surrounded by the love of God. This city is protected by God. Do what you want. But God is here. And the general turned around and went away. Now you say, oh, that's just a fairy tale. No, it isn't. That's a historical story from the city of Augsburg. You go there sometime and read what happens. In fact, you go to many villages in medieval times. These villages had these experiences where vandals and brigands would come in and try to take over the village. And that happened so much in Switzerland. And that's why Switzerland bound itself together as a native group. But the Swiss people, too, were out stealing and maligning all the people and taking their land and their houses. And then that had to come to a stop. And so they joined themselves into a confederation, and they made themselves a balanced group. They took the wolf that was angry and violent and threw him out. And they kept the wolf, who was gentle, loving, and compassionate, and made him the foundation of the Swiss culture. Now, this happened in many other nations too, but each new king, or each new royalty, or each new monarchy that would come in, or dictatorship, whatever it was, they had their own battles to fight. And they had their own battle of the bad wolf and the good wolf. And sometimes the good wolf won, and sometimes the bad wolf won. And when the bad wolf won, the country was filled with pestilence. The country was poor. There was not enough food, and the country suffered. When the good wolf ran the country, then the country was filled with love and peace and joy and harmony. Then the country was magnificent. But think about that. It's a simple little statement, a little story, and I'm sure very true. A Native American grandfather was talking to his grandson about how he felt. He said, I feel as if I have two wolves fighting in my heart. One wolf is a vengeful, angry, violent one. The other wolf is the loving, compassionate one. The grandson asked his grandpa, which wolf will win the fight in your heart, Grandpa? The grandfather answered, the one that I feed. Have a lovely day and think on these things. I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.